Lord, we present ourselves before you this morning. We open our hearts, we open our minds, and open our spirits unto you, Lord. Let the weight of your glory fall on us. Hallelujah. Oh, let the Spirit of God, let him come again. Come, Holy Spirit, come again. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with this excitement and this joy that they feel in your presence. The same love, the same joy, the same excitement, the same thrill that's in heaven. Whereby they say, holy, 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 all the time. And just enjoy your presence. Your presence, Lord, is heaven. Let it be so for us today as we enter into this lesson. And we pray that likewise the entrance of your word will bring light into our hearts, give us understanding. And we pray for everyone that's in the room today, a blessing over everyone. We pray for everyone that will listen in later. A blessing over everyone. We take charge of the airways in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let everything cooperate. Hallelujah. No disturbances, no distractions. The Lord have his way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. We are going to get back into this lesson on the Holy Spirit series. Today, Holy Spirit dimensions, more than gold. Ooh, my goodness. As a song we used to sing, it says, the Spirit of God in the heart of man, something more than gold. Well, let's find out. I'm going to do first a quick summary from yesterday. And thank God that the Lord gave us the victory. There was a lot of interruption yesterday, you know, on the airwaves. And we know it was the devil trying to attack the message from going forth, the teaching and the lesson. But at the end, the Lord gave us a victory after we prayed, and there was quietness. We were able to get through the entire room. As a matter of fact, I went back and listened to the replay, and when I tried to extract it, there's a lot of interruptions. But, you know, after that prayer that we made, the room was smooth all the way through. You know, so I'm going to do a quick recap just because of the various portions that were interrupted yesterday. You know, so the lesson yesterday was for us to just talk about the Holy Spirit. And we went back to the beginning to show us how the Holy Spirit was first introduced. The very first introduction of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes called the Spirit of God, sometimes called the Holy Spirit. And more, you know, I mean, later on in the New Testament, referred to as Holy Ghost, sometimes depend on the translation. But whether you say the Spirit of God, whether you say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, whether you say Spirit of the Living God, I mean, we're all talking about the same thing. And so our first introduction to him was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, where we saw that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deeps because of the chaos and the void that was there. God was going to do something, and the Holy Spirit moved. We also called out the fact that, you know, Holy Spirit must move, prepare the way, you know, for the acts of God to follow. You know, so the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts, preparing our hearts for the word of God, and the acts of God to follow. Holy Spirit must always move, you know, before something from the Lord can happen. That's actually the very essence of God is the Holy Spirit. And we also talked about Jesus Christ being God's gift to the world. according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ his son, you know, for that plan of redemption, which is popularly known as salvation. Well, the Lord himself turned around and said, the discussion he had with the disciples in John chapter 14, and he began to tell them, he said, look, you know, I'm going to go to the Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father and he will send you another comforter whom the world cannot receive. So we covered that yesterday. So we see that the Holy Spirit is not God's gift to the world. Jesus is God's gift to the world. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. You know, Jesus said the world cannot receive him, but you can and you will. And he said to them also, right now he's with you, and later on he will be in you. Hallelujah. So we try to cover also the difference between being with you and being in you. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit in the form of Christ was literally with them, but also, you know, the Holy Spirit was with them, even in the spirit, you know, and the same thing happens when someone comes to Christ today. You know, the moment they come to, I mean, for them to even be able to come to Christ, the Holy Spirit must move on their heart, because Jesus said, no one can come unto me except the Father draws him. You can't do it. You know, only the Lord by his Spirit can draw anyone. You know, so the Holy Spirit is there, you know, bringing that walk of trying to, you know, get that person's heart right, so that they may understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so the Holy Spirit, that walk of the Holy Spirit with the sinner is there, you know, and to bring them to Christ. But not fully resident, as we see the story in Acts chapter 19, which we also read yesterday. When Paul found certain disciples, he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, we haven't even so much as heard as to whether there be any Holy Spirit. And so Paul, being surprised, I mean, how would you not have heard that there be any Holy Spirit? Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized unto John's baptism. And we are believers, but all we know is John's baptism. So Paul proceeded to explain to them that story. You can find in Acts chapter 19, the first 6 verses or so. Proceeded to explain to them that, look, this baptism of John was on bring you unto repentance. But there is a different baptism. And they say, wow, yeah. And so even John himself talked about it, you know, in Matthew 3. He talked about it in Matthew 3:11. He said, there's one, that's John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, John the Baptist. There's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlace. I'm baptizing you in water, but he that cometh after me, of whom I gave witness and spoke to you, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The fire part sometimes is missing, you know, because, you know, people, we talked about that yesterday. We talked about it, that, you know, when people focus too much on just speaking in tongues, they miss the power of the Holy Spirit, of which Jesus said, tarry ye until you be endued with power from on high. So the expectation, according to Luke 24 and verse 49, the expectation is that when we receive, I mean, when we are about to receive the Holy Spirit, our expectation should be the endowment of power. The endowment of power. So that's Luke 24 and verse 49. I hope you are taking notes, and perhaps somebody can help to post those scriptures. So we've already talked about Matthew 3:11. We've talked about, Luke 24:49. You know, we've talked about John chapter 14. There is a discussion from Jesus in John chapter 14, you know, that he was telling his disciples about. And it's important for you to know this. He started to tell them that I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. So we called him a comforter yesterday because Jesus called him so from verse 16 of John 14. And he said, look, this comforter, when he comes, he will abide with you forever. That's forever. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to abide with us forever. You know, and Jesus himself said, look, the world cannot receive him, but you can and you will. And so, and he said, he's dwelling with you now and he shall be with you later on. You can read all of that in John 14, verses 16 to about 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right. So the introduction that Jesus was giving to the disciples, gave to them, was that the Holy Spirit would come. And he said, when he was about to leave, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued from on high with his power. And in Acts chapter 1, we see when he was about to leave, in verse 7, they were asking him, will thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And Jesus said, don't worry right now about times and seasons which God has kept in his power. But here's what you need to be concerned about. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you will be witnesses unto me. That power is for you to be witnesses unto me. So that power is what we want to talk about today. Now, if we finish it today, we will leave it there. If not, we'll continue. But the next lesson after the introduction is the power we want to talk about. Now, we talked also about, recognizing the Holy Spirit as who he is. And when he is dealing with us, not to refer to him as some it. You know, like people say, oh, something said to me, something cautioned me. Some people call it intuition. Some people say something said to me. But for us, it is the Holy Spirit. And we need to acknowledge him as such. And really, it's the Holy Spirit that you have with you. Even though we say, oh, let me receive Jesus into my heart. You know, which is something over the years that people have developed. You know, the real concept is the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to be in you. That's what Jesus said. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. But while Jesus was here, we could not receive the Holy Spirit because we covered that yesterday, how that, Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go. You know, because if I go not away, then the Holy Spirit cannot come. In the book of John chapter 16, verse 7, he said that. And that, why? Because, well, Jesus had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Holy Spirit was not given to him by measure. You know, so Christ was the only one that had the Holy Spirit, not by measure. You know, the Lord had the fullness of the Godhead on Christ. You know, it says it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. So we read that in the book of Colossians. So in Colossians chapter 2, we can read from verse 9, where he talks about the fullness of the Godhead dwelt upon him bodily. Well, if the fullness of the Godhead dwelt upon him bodily, then he can't be on anybody else. Just like it says in, I mean, the book of John chapter 3 and verse 34. It says, for God, you know, the Christ was sent, you know, and God gave him not the spirit by measure. You know, that's John chapter 3, verse 34. What does that mean? Well, that means that, you know, he did not have a portion of the Holy Spirit. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Complete, 100%. Nothing else to give out, nothing else to share. It was all wrapped up inside of him. So that's why Jesus said, look, this is my dispensation as the Son of Man to bring salvation to the world. You know, now, and Jesus also said, look, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He announced that in Matthew 16. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. At that time, the dispensational role changed. It was now the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, it was mostly God dealing with the Jews as the Holy One of Israel. You know, and then when Christ came, he was dealing, trying to introduce the kingdom of God and trying to show us how us in human flesh, he in human flesh representing fallen man, who if we receive the grace of God, we can become like him and live and demonstrate the kingdom just like he did. And then when he was about to go away, he switched the dispensation and said, well, this time around, it's the Holy Spirit that's coming to be in you. So that's the relationship of how, you know, God, you know, operated down through the ages. Now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, I call him, you know, something more than gold. I mean, it's not, there is nothing, one person said yesterday, it is indeed more than gold. There's nothing they can wish for more than the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is your constant companion. And we need to develop the habit of talking to him. Just talk to him and let him talk to you. Hallelujah. He's always there. Now that, you know, the Lord demonstrated how the Holy Spirit will come, demonstrated on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will now split. He's the eternal light that created everything. He will now split and put upon one, each of us our portion. You know, now it was all completely on Christ, but at the day of Pentecost, we split. And so the heavens opened up. They saw clothing tongues of fire sitting on each of them, you know, illustrating to us that we can now have that baptism of fire, each one of us, because now the Holy Spirit has shed, been shed forth. And Peter, describing it, said, well, this is what Joel prophesied. When the last days, Joel said, according to the prophecy in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, which, of course, Peter on the day of Pentecost was citing, that in the last days shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God calls him his spirit. We call him Holy Spirit. Some people say Holy Ghost. Same thing. And so now the church has come into their own, the place where Jesus wants us to be with the Holy Spirit. And he's the governor. I call him governor because he's the director. Here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In the book of John chapter 14, the same place that we were just referring to and reading. Yeah, let's see the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom the Father will send in my name. This is John chapter 14 and verse 26. He shall teach you all things and bring all things your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, remember, Christ in the form of the Son of God has now gone. You know, he has sent the Holy Spirit instead. And he's saying, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything. In fact, everything. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything, you know, that I've ever spoken to you. So if we are looking for the role of the Holy Spirit, what he should be, we should look at all the ways that Jesus, I mean, all the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit and how that when he comes, what he will do. That's what we should be looking about, you know, for and looking at. Now, the Holy Spirit, he will be your teacher. As a matter of fact, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, John, looking back on this, he wrote and said, the anointing which you have received, you need not that anyone teach you anything, but the anointing which you have received is no lie. The same anointing will teach you all things. You know, so that's 1 John 2:27, because John is remembering what Jesus said, and he's putting it in a different way now, that the Holy Spirit, that's the anointing, he will teach you all things. You know, so 1 John 2:27 is the same as John 14, verse 26. And actually, John wrote both of these things. You know, so he wrote it this way, in, you know, directly as Jesus said it. And then he recounted it later. That's again the work of the Holy Spirit reminding him. And he wrote it and said, this Holy Spirit is your teacher, you know, but that's what Jesus said. So that's one thing that the Lord said here about the Holy Spirit. But he also called him Comforter. He will be with you. He will be with you forever. So it's a constant companion, your guide through life. Now, we go to the next chapter of John. A lot of things are written here about the Holy Spirit in these three chapters, 14, 15, and 16. You know, now in John chapter 15, verse 26, just like John 14, 26, there's also John 15, 26. This may help you to remember when you're doing Bible study, looking for some of these verses. 14, 26, 15, 26. You know, and so in 15, 26, that's John, Jesus said, and another, he gave another aspect. He said, but when the Comforter is come, remember, he's already identified the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, you know, whom I will send unto you from the Father. And the other place said, the Father will send in my name. Now he said, I will send from you to the Father. We covered that yesterday, that it's really the same Spirit. You know, you can't separate God into different pieces. We covered that yesterday. Now, the Spirit of truth, he said, when he comes, that comes from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he shall bear witness. You also shall bear witness, because you have been from with me from the beginning. Now, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the testifier, the one that will lift Jesus up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, it will lift Jesus up. Testify of me, he said. Well, fast forward to the next chapter of John, chapter 16, and Jesus began to say some more things about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, as long as I'm still here, the Comforter can't come. Because these are the dispensational roles. And then when, if the Comforter couldn't come, Jesus himself had the Holy Spirit not by measure, the fullness of the Godhead upon him, then all of us have nothing, really. So when he now left, the Holy Spirit can now come and separate, you know, upon each of us, as many as believe. You know, remember, the Holy Spirit is the eternal source. You can't deplete him. You can have the Holy Spirit. I can have the Holy Spirit. Millions of others can have the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't deplete anything from the Holy Spirit. It's the eternal source. You know, so now say the Comforter, you know, will come after I leave. Here are some of the things he will do. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. This the Holy Spirit. Anytime that you are trying to preach to people, remember, you can't do it with your power without the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, reproving of sin. You know, for you to tell somebody that they need a savior. Why? you know, why should I need to be saved? Well, Holy Spirit is the one that will convict them that they need a savior. Can't do it otherwise. So we must recognize these things, you know, of righteousness, of judgment. Now, you say of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me not. Well, righteousness here is like justification. The fact that Jesus was, you know, risen from the dead is what justifies us from the guilt, the blame, the condemnation in the past. Justification means it's not that you didn't do it, but it's like, it's as if you never did it. You know, God just wiped it away. That's what Christ did. And because he raised up from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that. Say, look, if Christ was still dead, then your faith is in vain. But now because he lives, we know that, he, you know, we are justified by faith in him. You know, so now, the prince of this world is judged because Christ came to introduce the kingdom of God that will destroy the kingdoms of this world. In Daniel chapter 2, we cover that in the kingdom series back and forth when we're doing that. And Christ will set up his own kingdom, but it comes through the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's how he's going to do it. When we understand that and we are representing the Christ, we begin to bring in the light. This world is in darkness, you know, so we must let that light shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, Matthew 5 and 16, that they will see your good works, what which the Holy Spirit will do through you, and give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. But then he says, look, I have many things yet to say to you now, but you can't really bear them because you are not quite ready. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to understand these things. That's why I say to people that, look, if without the Holy Spirit, you can read the words of Jesus or the Bible even 100 times, 1,000 times and so forth, it will just be reading it in the letter. You know, you won't have the revelation. It's the Holy Spirit. So, but Jesus said here in John 16 and 13, he says, it's the Holy Spirit that can teach you these things. You don't understand them now, but the Spirit, when he comes, see, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the guide. Hallelujah. He's the governor. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, these are all of these things that we're saying is how the Holy Spirit, the role he will play in our life. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. He shall not speak of himself. If you yourself know that you are being led by the Spirit of God, then you do not speak of yourself, just like the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. You know, Jesus, he gave a lot of examples about that, and we covered that when we're talking about kingdom and the ambassadors. An ambassador does not speak his own thing, but he speaks what the kingdom speaks. He can't speak anything different. You know, so the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he represents the kingdom too. And he's going to show us how to do it. He will not speak of himself. You know, and so neither should we. But this part that says he will show you things to come. Let me talk about that for just a minute. This is John 16 and 13. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Well, that could mean literally, like people have taken it over the years, that the Holy Spirit will show you prophetically things to happen in the future. And he will do that too. You know. Well, let me show you an aspect which this refers to in your personal life. I'm not talking of global events that the Holy Spirit will reveal, you know, things and so forth, which he does. But in your personal life, things to come, he will guide you, showing you that. It also means if you understand this thing in the sphere of prayer, it means that when you are praying, and you connect with the Holy Spirit, he will show you the answer to that prayer because it is yet to come. Hallelujah. Once you connect with him like that, he will show you. For instance, let's say you are sick or you have an evil report from the doctor that says whatever it is. Now, the Holy Spirit, when you are praying and believing God, Holy Spirit will show you the end result, which is your healing. You know, so it will show you that you are well, you are all right. I mean, you are, everything's okay. You know, he shows you that, and then you latch your faith onto that, you know, by the word of God. The Holy Spirit can show you, I mean, when you're believing God for something, the Holy Spirit will show you that you already got it. And then you latch your faith into that. He show you things to come. When you are in prayer, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And when you latch your faith onto it, you walk with the Holy Spirit like that, then you got it. You know, so remember, the he will show you things to come can cover many aspects. He will also glorify me. See, now, if somebody, you know, says they are a minister, a this and a that and so forth, and they are only bringing glory to themselves, then they are not being led by the Holy Spirit. That's right. You know, though, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in you is to glorify Christ. That's it. Bottom line. So anybody that is out there trying to make a name for themselves, you know, and trying to, you know, portray themselves as something, and they're speaking in the name of, even though they might be speaking the words of God, even though they might be preaching, you know, from the Bible and all of these things, you know, and as much as they are not, if their intent is not glorifying God, then they are not really being led by the Spirit at that moment. I'm not saying they are not a child of God. I'm just saying they are not being led by the Spirit. Because when you're led by the Spirit, the role will be to glorify Christ. He said, he shall glorify me. You know, and for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. It's the same thing I just said. You know, receive of mine. All things are mine. And now they are yours, Jesus said. And so, you know, whatever it is that you are looking for, Luke 12 and 32, it is the Father's good pleasure to give it to you, the kingdom. The Holy Spirit will receive it on your behalf and show it to you, you know, even while you have not yet got it. And the Holy Spirit already received it on your behalf. Remember Jesus one time, he gave a parable. He said, the kingdom of God is like, you know, someone, you know, and so forth. You know, I set out a king, really. But he set out, you know, he wasn't crowned yet, but he set out and went out to receive a kingdom. And then he went out and did some things and called his disciples and, I mean, servants and gave them this and that. You know, so Holy Spirit, you know, is now with us, helping us to understand that kingdom. Jesus did what he could, taught the disciples, but he only was here for a limited time. You know, so the Holy Spirit is now here, expanding the same things to us, helping us to understand what it was that Jesus was teaching. Because that's what Jesus said. When he comes, he will bring to your remembrance these things and he will expand it, show you all truth, and so on. You know, now, he will glorify me. In the book of Revelation, let's fast forward to Revelation for just a minute and see what this Holy Spirit glorifying Christ all means. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 19, and it's in another place also, but I just want to read this one. You know, when we saw that John, the angel that was referring, I mean, showing him all these things and so forth. You know, John said in Revelation 19 and 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, this was the angel that was showing him all these things. And the angel said to me, see that thou do it not. Don't do that. Don't worship me, for I am your fellow servant. So, you know. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So we see that, you know, even after they are gone from this world, while they are waiting for the Christ and all the, you know, ripening of the fruit, some of them have, you know, gone and were waiting for everybody else. You know, in the meantime, God can still send them errand. God sent this one. We don't know who he was, but his claim is that I am your fellow servant. So he's not an angel in the way that we think of it. An angel is a messenger. I mean, he was somebody that lived on the earth at some point in time. And he said, I am of thy brethren. You know, so probably, you know, of whatever clan John was, maybe the Jews or whatever. We don't know. You know, but he said, I am of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Well, you know, so maybe it was some kind of a believer. You know, we don't know who he was, but he said brethren. Brethren could be the Jews. Brethren could be your believers. You know, I believe more it was in the believer sense because he said testimony of Jesus. In the book of Revelation When they're referring to the Jews, they refer to them as those that keep the commandments of God. When you're referring to believers, they talk about them that have the testimony of Jesus. So this man, but he said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, so this is spirit here. Well, it means what's driving prophecy. It also means the motivation, the drive, everything, the goal, what's behind real prophecy is to testify of Jesus. You know, so this is what Jesus was saying, that he would testify of me. So now we see all this powerful stuff that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do for us. The reason we don't walk in this experience is because of what I said yesterday, is that those of us who are, you know, trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, perhaps for the first time, we are focused on speaking with tongues, because the culture, the Pentecostal culture, has made us to glorify that so much, you know. But that's a distraction, because it takes away from that power that Jesus said you will receive. Now, Jesus, here's how the scripture characterized the ministry of Christ, of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. That's how. How? Well, what's the evidence? How did we see? For he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And that's how God anointed and sent him. And Jesus, you know, when he was praying in John chapter 17, you know, he prayed the same prayer. He said this thing in two different places. You know, in one place he said, look, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them. You know, that's, he said that in his prayer when he was praying. And then when he was about to leave, you know, he also said to them, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, how did the Father send him? Well, that's what we just read in Acts chapter 10, you know, verse 38. You know, Acts chapter 10 says how the Father sent him with the Holy Ghost and power. And Jesus says here in John 17 and verse 18 in his prayer, when he was praying, he said, as thou, Father, hast sent me, even so have I sent them. Well, the way you sent me, well, how did he send it? He sent it with the Holy Ghost and power. That's right. You know, and he demonstrated his power. Well, he sent us the same way. But we will miss out on this power if we just focus on speaking with tongues. Now, speaking with tongues has its own place. You know, Jude tells us, Jude 20, he said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and so forth, keep yourselves in the love of God, and all these things. So you can build up your holy faith. You know, Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians and describing to them, you know, how they should properly use speaking in tongues, he was talking about the church. He wasn't talking about what you do in your house. You can speak in tongues all day long in your house or in your life. But when you come to the church, he was saying this is how you do it. But he was saying, look, when you're speaking in tongues, you are really speaking to God and you are edifying yourself. You know, so edify means build up. So speaking in tongues can build you up, you know, help you build you up, charge you up, and so on. You know, so we know that it has its place. And it's, you're speaking mysteries when you speak with unknown tongues. It has its place. But if we focus only on that, we will miss that power which Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 17 and verse 18. Said, as you send me, so send I you. And then he turned around when he was leaving in John chapter 20 and verse 21 and said the same thing to the disciples. Now, this was his prayer in John 17, but this is his own voicing it out to them. And now, he said, peace be unto you, John 20 and 21. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So, Putting all those scriptures together, we see that we should go be out in the power of God, just like Jesus went about doing good, healing all that. And Jesus demonstrated this during his time with the disciples, in the training camp when Jesus was with them. In Matthew chapter 10, when he sent them out, he said, look, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, do all these things. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 10, how he sent them out. It's even recorded also in Luke chapter 10, how he sent them out. Send them out, they came back, and they said, you know, the devils even have, you know, about to us, and so forth. They cry out, they come out, they're subject to us. And Jesus told them, yeah, that's great. But, you know, that's only part of the big picture. The big picture is you have your names written. You are selected from the foundation of the world. That's really what should excite you. Not just that devils cry out. Devils will cry out. This is, you know, Jesus is trying to tell them that, look, devils crying out, you casting out devils. That's just a norm. That's the normal thing. You know, but the reason that all of that is so, you know, is because you are part of something bigger. You know, part of something bigger. You were part of something that was in his mind from the beginning. Your names were written in heaven. You were selected. Huh? Glory to God. You know, and so you can do these things. You can walk in the power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just drop this right now. The power and the light of the Holy Spirit in us is what does miracles, is what heals the sick. And it's the Holy Spirit that's doing these things, you know. So when we allow ourselves, when we cleanse ourselves, when we become a channel of the Holy Spirit, I mean, think of it as a water hose or your plumbing, the piping in your plumbing in your house. When the piping is clogged with calcium deposits over the years, then the water doesn't flow freely. And even when it flows, it's dirty because it's clogged. Now, the same thing with a garden hose. If you have a garden hose in the yard attached to the faucet or the tap, I mean, you can open the tap with all fully and it can have as much pressure as you want. But if there are kinks in that hose, there's no water coming out. You can just bend the hose somewhere, kink it real tight, and that will stop the water. You don't even have to turn off the tap. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to turn off the tap. Just kink the hose, and the water will stop flowing. Now, that water is the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it also himself in John chapter 7 and verse 37. How did he characterize it? He said, look, because at that time, they had not yet received the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus was going to tell them that the Holy Spirit was coming. And here's how he characterized it. He said, look, when the Spirit comes, it's going to be like, you know, rivers of living water, just issuing out from your belly, you know. And the Bible says that, look, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, which they should receive, which they have not yet received. Hallelujah. So let's read it. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there's a commentary behind that. And this is John now saying, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For as of that time, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. As long as Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit could not be poured out. You know, but he's saying that when, you know, when the Holy Spirit came, it'll be like rivers issuing out of your belly. So now that we have the Holy Spirit, that's the way it should be issuing. That water should be issuing out, but there are kinks. So I want to talk about dimensions of the Holy Spirit. And when we get to the full dimensions, it's like it's more than gold. But here is how it starts. Of course, when we come into Christ, through the knowledge of the gospel, salvation, and all of that. That's a work of the Holy Spirit by itself. It's with you to do that. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the Holy Spirit inside of you now, like what they had on the day of Pentecost. Now, that's the start of this flow, you know, in the flowing of the rivers of living water. You know, but you've got to be careful so you don't put a kink in the hose. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today and tomorrow. I'm going to show you how the power of God, which many of you have experienced, can flow so mightily. But once that hose is kinked, nothing is coming out of there. Even though the water is still in there with full force and full pressure, the tap has not been turned off, but the water is not coming out. The same thing is, you've turned on the full pressure in your main water supply for your house, but the water is only dripping from the tap. Why? Because it's clogged up with so many calcium deposits over the years, and there may be something that is clogged up, you know, the mouth of the faucet, and the thing can only drip out. Now, when you clean all that stuff out, you don't have to change the pressure, the water pressure. Leave the water pressure alone. Just clean out the pipes, you know, undo all the kinks, and then the water will freely flow. So dimensions of the Holy Spirit, as this lesson says, is, you know, how much cleaning, you know, we've done to the hose to give Holy Spirit free passage. Now, Holy Spirit dimensions, you know, some will be limited because there is no free flowing, you know, and the Holy Spirit can't really flow. You know, also when people first receive the Holy Spirit, you know, when we were younger, we learned physics. We learned about, you know, resistors and conductors. Now, a conductor is an element through which electricity can flow freely. A resistor is an element through which electricity cannot flow. So we can be a resistor, or you can be a conductor. If you are a resistor, now this human body is a resistor. We don't have the metallic elements that allow electricity to flow freely. So because this body is a resistor, when you go put your hand on live electricity, that's like 240 volts. That's what we use in Nigeria. Over here in America, it's only 110. It's less than half of that. It can still give you a serious shock, but you go put your hand on 240 volt power, you know, it is going to rock and shake you and perhaps even throw you off. I mean, might throw you out several feet. Now, you're lucky if it actually throws you out. If you stay glued on there, you're finished. You know, so, and that's a resistor. And the whole body will shake like that because it's a resistor. Now, on the other hand, if you connect a conductor to that same power, same electric source, the thing will just flow through without anything. So again, our human flesh is a resistor, you know, to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that flesh and the spirit, these are contrary to one another. It's a resistor. So here's what happens when people receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. They shake and do all these things. It's like that electricity trying to come through them. They shake and they rattle and so on, you know, because their body, their spirit, their soul is not trained. They're still trying to resist. And so there's a shaking and everything. And, you know, some people actually think that, oh, the more they shake, the more it shows they have the power. No, it just shows the more you are resisting. You know, that's why you are shaking. You know, now, when you let go and let the Holy Spirit flow through by getting rid of all those kinks and everything, it will just flow through. But it takes some training. So we train people to, you know, say that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So now you're trained, let the Holy Spirit flow through. You don't need to shake. You don't need to scream. You just now, you're trained. But at first, you shake, you scream, you do all of these things, you fall down, and so on. You know, There is no, you know, there is no need for you to fall down, you know, to show that the power of God is on you. Some people actually think that when you receive the Holy Ghost, unless you fall down, then it means the power is not there. Or the degree to which you fall down is the degree to which the power is there. All of those things are just carnal stuff. You know, the Holy Spirit, He can flow through you to rivers of living water. You will fall down more when you are more resistant. You know, some people, as soon as they are praying for, they are shaking all over the place, they are falling down. Yeah, they are more resistant. You know, let the Holy Spirit flow. Hallelujah. You can be trained, you know, to handle that. You know, so the resistance, those are the things we need to get rid of so that the Holy Spirit can flow. Now, once you get rid of all the clogging of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. You know, we have tremendous promises that can bring us into this nature of Christ. But he said, look, we've got to purge ourselves and purify ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and the flesh and all of these things, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, in a great house, there are many vessels, some unto honor, some to dishonor. But if somebody purges himself, then it will be a vessel of honor. Now, if you want to be a river, you know, like the Bible says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. You want to be a channel of blessing like that? You got to purge, cleanse out the old leaven, purge out all the clog, all the calcium deposits, all the kinks in the hose, straighten it out. And what are some of these kinks? Well, we've been talking about them over the months in this room. The little foxes that spoil the vine, the unbelief, the doubting, the fear, the backbiting, the gossip, the this, you know, all those little things, you know, things that, you know, these are the things that clog up the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. And people are still there speaking with tongues, but they are still backbiting, they are still gossiping, you know, they are still a tail bearer, they are still doing all of these things, they are still peeping into things that doesn't concern them. And they are doing all of these things and so forth, carrying, you know, tails all over the place, you know, they are, you know, flying off the handle, you know, they are allowing anger in there, they still have unforgiveness and so forth. But yet they are speaking in tongues, you know, they speak in tongues all day long. And still, the moment they see the brother that's offend them, you know, hatred, you know, is in their heart. You know, so those are kinks. These are the things that spoil the vine. These are the things that prevent the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to get all those things out of there, and then you'll see real power. Glory to God. You see the Holy Spirit. Effortlessly, Holy Spirit will be there because he walks in a vessel that is a channel. The Holy Spirit doesn't care too much for a lake. He's depicted as a river. You are flowing down, you know, from the hills or from whatever, and keep on flowing. There is no moss that gathers in the river because it's keep flowing. So flowing and flowing. But for the lake, before you know it, there's all kinds of algae and debris and everything that will gather because the lake is taking in, but it's not, there's no outlet. So after a while, the thing starts to stink up. And so on. And so the thing is, how do we, you know, increase the dimensions of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, it is to cleanse out all these things that offend. Glory to God. Scripture says, look, grieve not the Holy Spirit, you know, by which we are sealed. Is that, remember, is that thing that will be with us that Jesus promised, you know, be with you throughout time. But if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Holy Spirit enough times, he really can't work. There's not, you know, he can't really flow. And the Holy Spirit is not going to force you. You've got to yield to him. You must of your own selves mortify the deeds of the flesh. He is there to enable us, but you must yield. You must of your own self be obedient. If the Holy Spirit says, don't mess with that tree, that's what the voice of God told them in the beginning. Don't go there. Don't eat of it. You can eat all the other ones. But that one, Stay away from it. You know, and the devil comes in and tells them something different, make them doubt the integrity of God, and then they fall for it, then they are dead. You know, so the same thing today. And the Holy Spirit tells you, he's here now. Guide us to that tree of life. Hallelujah. He will guide you away from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Guide you to the tree of life. But you must obey. If you do not obey, he says, if you are obedient and willing, you will eat the fruit of the land. But if you do not obey, then we're gonna have a problem on our hands. You know, at the end, God called them stiff-necked people because they did not obey. You know, and he said, look, I'm done with these people. I mean, how long are they going to not obey me? You know, so the Holy Spirit brings us into obedience, but he's a gentle guide. So I'm going to force you. And somebody say, well, you know, God, Jesus forced Saul. No, he did not. On the day, Acts chapter 9, Jesus appeared to him, you know, told him, why are you persecuting me? But Saul at that time of Tarsus still had to make the choice. He, with his own mouth, still had to say, Lord, what would thou have me do? You know, so we must yield. Oh, I'm looking up at the time now and I see that time is fast spent. I'm going to leave it here, but not without me telling you a few testimonies, you know, because this is where we are leading to is what the Holy Spirit can do in us. And some of you will remember when you first received the Holy Spirit, that difference that was in your life. I want to give you a quick testimony of the difference the Holy Spirit makes, even in a group, in individual, and so on. Holy Spirit made such a difference in my life. I'm not going to go into all of that today. You know, at various times when I have opportunity, I'll say some of it. You know, but within a few weeks or months of receiving the Holy Spirit, my life was so transformed that people thought I had been in the Lord and I had been in the ministry for years. Now, let me give you a testimony, you know, with the difference between the Holy Spirit in a group and a Holy Spirit a group that's flat, that has no Holy Spirit. Same thing with a person. It's a believer that has don't have this power of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. It's like you are in a wheelchair. You know, that's it. I mean, you're kind of handicapped, you know, but the Holy Spirit is what liberates and brings that power. So when I was in, you might call it something equivalent to like a community college, Federal School of Science in Lagos, many, many years ago, this was in Nigeria. I joined a group when I arrived, you know, and so forth. And there were two groups. One group that said, we don't believe the Holy Ghost. Okay. Back in the days in the 70s, there was a lot of that going on in Nigeria. You say, we don't believe the Holy Ghost. We don't believe the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in all of these things. You know, the Scripture Union back then, you know, was a champion of being against speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit, and all the gifts of the Spirit and so on. So there were two groups. And the group that I was in, because we were believing the Holy Ghost, we were all young. I was about 19 going on 20. But I want to call something out, you know, which some of you may have heard me say. So one day we were having the fellowship, the power of the Holy Spirit. In our fellowship, the Holy Spirit was always moving. Powerful stuff. But there were dimensions of the Holy Spirit even moving. There were days when the Holy Spirit, the glory came. Right? Evidential. I mean, people would even see tongues of fire or pillar of cloud or fire and so forth. Anytime that happened, we were in a classroom in the campus and the classroom had glass windows. Anytime that particular kind of visitation happened, students would line up along the corridor. There were days when it didn't happen. And if it didn't happen, nobody lined up in the corridor. But anytime the glory of God came, students lined up on the corridor. The ones outside on the corridor, they did not see the pillar of fire, the glory, the tongues of fire that the people in the building were seeing. But something drew them. And they were there. And they'll be looking. And some of them would say, what is going on there? They'll be mocking. And one by one by one by one by one, every single last of one of them would come into that room, fall down on their knees, begin to cry out for mercy. every single last one of them. Without us changing the service, without us preaching salvation message or anything, just there carrying on our thing. They are out there trying to mock, and one by one. And this happened many times. It didn't happen all the time, but every time it happened, when the Holy Spirit came like that, in that particular dimension, that was the effect. You drew people like that. So one day, I was in the service, and then I left to go to the bathroom, which was just down the hall. And there were two fellows there, two guys, and they heard the singing. And one guy said to his fellow, now these SU people, that's scripture, you know, that was the language we use, they use in those days. These SU people have started again because they had the singing. And the other one said to him, no, these guys are not SU. These ones are fire. Those were his exact words. Glory to God. So, you know, because the scripture union group, which was SU, they didn't believe anything. They believed nothing and they had no power. And this man said to the other one, he said, these ones, they are not scripture union. They are fire. In fact, that's what he said. And I was there, and like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I didn't say anything. I was just going to the bathroom. The two of them were there. See, this is a difference. This is the baptism of fire. And I'm going to be talking more about that in this series before we finish. But I just want to leave you that even the world can tell. They can see the difference. They know. They said, this group, they are on fire. They're not like the other group. Don't even compare them. This man was saying to his friend, so what do you mean? So, these ones, they are fire. They are not scripture, you know. These are fire. So that's how he said it. And ladies and gentlemen, when that fire was there, my goodness, you'll hear more about those testimonies later. Well, that's where we are headed here. Is now, thank God that I've been able to lay out this series, this teaching without any interruption today. You know, so lay out the series. But we're coming into an understanding of what this power is supposed to do in us. We got to go back to basics. You know, and many of us, our lives are stale now. We're not walking in the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Now, here a little, there a little, yes. You know, but many times we back down from things that we should never back down from. You know, so we will come into that perhaps tomorrow. How that when the power of God, this fire is inside of you, it's a different dimension. You never back down from anything. You back down from nothing. Hallelujah. You will go, you do exploits, and it will be so effortless because the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing it. We are just being careful to make sure that there is no clogging in the pipe. There are no kinks in the hose so that he can flow. Truly, flow through, you know, is all, that's our responsibility. Make sure he has free passage. And when he has free passage, signs, wonders, miracles, everything will break forth. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. We're building up to something. The final and ultimate work of the Holy Spirit is to bring the sons of God into the place of full emergence. You know, that's where we're going. And God called for it in at the beginning of this year, and we're coming into it. You know, so we must prepare our hearts. We must learn the lessons of how to get there. But I tell you what, I want some of you to come and give testimonies of the power of God in your life. When you allow the Holy Spirit to walk, what are the things that he has done? And what have you learned from today's lesson? And like I said yesterday, we haven't even scratched the surface. We scratched a little more today, but not really too deeply, because I had to spend a lot of time trying to recover the message yesterday that was interrupted. You know, but as we build on this, we're going to see how powerful that Holy Spirit can be. Remember how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. And that's how we also must be. That's our lesson today. I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to turn it over for your reactions. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this lesson again in this great work of the Holy Spirit. Little understood all the things that he could do, you know, not only to bring us into the place of salvation, but bring us to the place of consecration, bring us into the place where we are fully united one-on-one with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one that does all these things. But also help us to demonstrate the fullness and the power of the kingdom in this world so that others may see and say, we want part of that. Lord, I pray that as we go through these lessons, you may open up our understanding. Hallelujah. Let the fountains of the deeps, let the deeps be broken up. Let the fountains of living water come out. Hallelujah. And the things that are holding back the Holy Spirit coming out fully from us, reveal them to us in these next few lessons so that we can clean out the pipes and the clogs, straighten out all the kinks, and let the Holy Spirit flow freely for a full demonstration to this generation. We give you, Lord, praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.